Years ago, a dry cleaning establishment had these words in their front window. If your clothes aren't becoming to you, they should be coming to us. I like when my clothes have been dry cleaned. They're just kind of a, you know, crispness about it, and the crease you can see in your pants, and I don't know. Now, that might work in the dry cleaning business, but it certainly doesn't work respecting the old garments of sin. They cannot be dry cleaned. They cannot be restored. The fact is, they must be removed. They must be discarded. They must be put away. And they need to be put away now. Through the years, my wife Kay has helped discard some of my clothes. And I do remember one time I was really disappointed. Maybe some of you who are of my generation remember double knit suits. I mean, I just loved double knit suits. Polyester. Thank you. Double knit polyester. Are you wearing one right now?
No.
Okay. But anyway, this was a sports coat. And I mean, it was multicolored, brown and yellow and white. I mean, it was all mixed up. I mean, there wasn't a lot of rhyme or reason to it, but it was sharp. Are you going to let me tell the story or not? And Kay just out of the blue said, well, could I borrow that, you know? I've never seen it since. You know, oftentimes we need help, amen? And we need help with our clothing. We need help to dress for success. Sometimes we need help to get rid of our clothes because we kind of like to hold on to them. You know, those jeans that you've worn for 2 centuries, you know, they still fit. Hopefully they still fit. I need to move on. But the point is, we need help. Not only to discard clothing we need to get rid of, but we need help to discard the old man's clothing. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into focus. We see here Paul's statement in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, that ye put off the old man, which is corrupt and deceitful. I mean, that should tell you right now, or right away, that that's a man you need to put off. I mean, Paul says this old man is corrupt. This old man is deceitful. And in its place, we are to put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What a contrast between the old man and the new man. Again, the old man is corrupt and deceitful. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul is telling us here, when you and I become a Christian, we are to do something about our wardrobe. We're not to look like we did before. We're to put on some new clothing. We are to put off the old life as a man puts off a coat for which he has no further use. He's through with it. And then in the subsequent verses, Paul tells us what we are specifically to put on. What we are to put off, what we are to put on in its place. What we are to replace the old man with. And this morning I want to remind you, as I remind myself, what a spirit-controlled life puts off and what it puts on. You can tell if the Holy Spirit is in control by what you wear spiritually. Again, I want to remind you what is the appropriate manner of living for the believer, God's rules to live by for the Christian. Well, the first thing Paul tells us here to put off is lying. And in its place, we are to put on truth. Notice verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying. The Greek is actually saying here, throw away lying in the same way you would discard an old, unusable garment. I mean, get rid of it. Get rid of lying. And in its place, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be someone who doesn't live his life by doing what is expedient. You know, how often in life we are confronted with, am I going to tell the truth or not? And the old man, our old nature says, well, if you tell the truth, you're going to get into trouble. And so because of expediency, we say, well, you know, I'll just kind of tell a little lie here and get through this situation. Someone that's spirit-controlled doesn't live his life by expediency. And then Paul gives us the reason for telling the truth. And we see that as well in verse 25, for we are members one of another. As we all know, a body can function healthily only when each part of it passes true messages to the brain. If your hand if you put your hand over a stove and it's hot, but you tell your brain it's not on, the burners are not on, what's going to happen with your hand? You're going to probably burn it. And likewise, the body of Christ can function properly only when we speak the truth to one another. And that is why Paul begins here with the foundational element of truth. When truth is absent, there is no trust. There is dysfunction. There is no wholeness. There is nothing to build a life on. Which is why one famous theologian called lying a monstrosity. A spirit-filled Christian speaks the truth. I say, don't live a lie. You are lying to yourself when you live a lie. Such a life doesn't work. Second, a spirit-filled believer puts off bad anger and he puts on good anger. Notice verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And the idea here is be angry, but don't miss the mark. Control your anger. Tremble and sin not. Now, one thing we should be angry at is the killing of the unborn. Zach has indicated, this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. There is no greater sin than the deliberate, premeditated aborting of innocent life. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. I mean, this is life that He has given. And man has the audacity to take that innocent life. Such hands are not only those of the doctors and nurses who perform the abortion procedure, but of the judges and the politicians who allow such infanticide, and the voters who put such advocates of abortion into office, into places of authority. They are all complicit. God holds them all accountable. Well, let me ask you, what about the rights of the unborn? Don't they have rights to life, right to life and right to liberty and right to this pursuit of happiness? Honestly, the unborn are real human beings. They are just as real as you. And so God be merciful to us as a nation. And so we ought to be angry at this sin, which is an abomination to God. But then we are to pray with a loving, caring heart that this truth of God's design for humanity will be understood and received. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner. Which means a born-again, spirit-controlled disposition includes a transformed temper, which verse 27 tells us does not give place to the devil. We don't yield our will to the author of bad behavior who wants to turn righteous anger into bad anger. Martin Luther said, give the slanderer no place in your life. A spirit-filled believer has righteous anger. I think one of the problems with the Church of Jesus Christ today is we've lost our righteous anger. We sit passively by when sin is just blatantly performed before us. We are to be salt and light in this wicked and evil world. And then third, we put off stealing and we put on sharing. Notice verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I think it's interesting to note here that Paul does not say, be honest in your financial dealings so that you can legitimately support yourself. And we need to legitimately support ourselves. But the focus here is be honest, do right in respect to your stewardship of what you have so that you can have something to give to others. To those who have needs that you can help meet. Manage your money, be a good steward of your talents for the purpose of not amassing things, but of blessing and encouraging others. That's how a spirit-filled believer orchestrates the resources he has. Do you live your life in a way that you seek to be an encourager and a blessing to others? That's Christianity. The lesson here is we are to be generous in our sharing. Now I can hear someone say, well, Pastor, what about me? I mean, if I'm constantly giving away what I have, will there be anything left for me? You know, I mean, I need to, after all, I need to take care of myself. Well, let me say, you know, we need to make sure our finances are in order. I mean, we are to owe no man. We are to pay our bills. But let me say, you can never outgive the Lord. He has a bigger shovel than you do. Remember, Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal, the generous soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And what about this life? Sooner or later, all we have will leave behind. And so Christ tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Spirit-filled man is marked not by stealing, but by sharing. And this also includes our time. Maybe you can't sit down and write out a check for $1,000 and give to someone, but you can give time to someone. Maybe there's something that you can do with your hands which can be a blessing. Maybe you can go to someone's house and fix something. There are things that you could do for others with the skills that God has given to you that can be such a blessing. I marvel when I hear, I'm really thrilled when I hear, well, so-and-so from the church came over and fixed my dryer or fixed my lawnmower or came over and mowed my grass. I mean, that is sharing. That's Christianity. Fourth, the Spirit-filled man puts off unwholesome words and speaks healing, edifying, healthy words. We see this in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The Greek word used here for corrupt can describe decaying animal or vegetables. And so Paul is saying, don't speak words that are bad, that are rotten, that are putrid. The point is, a Christian's tongue is to speak words that give life, hope, help, and encouragement. It is said of Alexander White, a famous theologian, all of his geese became swans, which means his words were transforming. Eliphaz said of Job, your words have supported those who stumbled. You have strengthened faltering knees. And so instead of bringing a decaying effect to society, our speech is to be full of grace, seasoned with salt. And what does salt do? It preserves, it retards decay, it brings healing, it gives flavor. People should come away from a conversation with you saying, that was needful, that was a blessing, that was nourishing, that refreshed my soul. That's how we should communicate with one another. Sometimes you talk to someone and you think, boy, that was depressing. And then you talk to others and you just feel buoyed, you feel uplifted, you feel encouraged, you feel like life has been breathed into you. Proverbs 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise brings healing. A spirit-filled man is known for his instructive, uplifting words. Be a person who leaves people with hope. Be a person who leaves people with hope. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. Pray for me. That when I speak to you, when I communicate God's truth to you, it's life-giving. It's not just words. It's life-giving. And then fifth, the spirit-controlled man turns from natural vices. He puts them off to supernatural virtues. That's what he puts on. Verse 31, let all bitterness. The Greeks define this word as long-standing resentment. This is the spirit which refuses to be reconciled. It keeps nursing hard feelings, grudges, animosity. It will not let go of the past and move on. It will not put the past under the blood. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. None of us have arrived. We're all so imperfect. But what do? We have a forgiving spirit and we move on. By God's Spirit, we are to look forward and not behind. And Paul continues, let all bitterness and wrath, which is outbreaks of passion and anger, which is habitual, long-term, long-lived anger, clamor, which is loud talking, and evil speaking, which is slander. We're talking here defamation, blasphemy. All these evil vices are to be put off. They are to be put away. Then Paul adds one more natural vice, malice, which is a general term for evil. This as well is to be put away. Sins that break fellowship, sins that destroy relationships, sins that weaken and split apart the body of Christ, sins that mar the testimony of the gospel are to be put away. Be a healer in your family. Be someone that takes someone else by the hand and says, I love you and I care for you. And maybe I have offended you, but I am sorry. Okay. Let's move on. You know, we don't have each other forever down here. And I think too often we forget that we begin to appreciate someone as we should when that person is gone. Well, you still have opportunities to love that neighbor, that family member, that friend, do so. One author writes, an unbeliever sees Christianity acting just like the rest of society. And when this occurs, the church is blemished in his eyes and he is confirmed still further in resisting the claims of the gospel. And I respond how true this is. Why should the unsaved want something that hasn't transformed our words and attitudes? What's the point of salvation if it hasn't saved us from the destructive, ruinous sins of the children of the world? But what does testify to the saving grace of Christ is a life marked by the Spirit of God's supernatural virtues, which are described in verse 32, and be ye kind. Here's a godlike virtue. The Greeks defined this quality as the disposition of the mind which thinks as much of its neighbor's affairs as it does of its own. Kindness has learned the secret of wellness, which is looking outward all the time and not inward. And so a spirit-filled believer is kind even to ungrateful and evil men. A spirit-filled Christian loves even his enemies, and thus he is good to them and expects nothing in return. You know, you say, well, that's impossible, and it really is. Apart from the Spirit of God. You and I can't pull that one off. Because our human nature, when we are confronted, when someone does something to us that we don't appreciate, we want to get even. Supernatural living enables us to be kind. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Here's a second Christ-honoring virtue. Here is empathy, compassion for someone's needs. And then third, forgiveness, forgiving one another. And how are we to forgive even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you? We're kind, we're tender-hearted, we're forgiving. I say that's a beautiful life. Being kind. What kind of testimony do you have at work? What kind of testimony do you have in your home? What kind of testimony do you have when you're on the ball field? Can someone say that person's kind? That person has a tender heart? That person forgives? Wow, that's a testimony. You know, sometimes we just need to say, Lord, give me a forgiving spirit. And we forgive because we have been forgiven. Spirit-filled people forgive because they know God has forgiven them. And so I ask, we who have been forgiven so much, how can we not forgive the relatively small things done against us? The forgiven should always, always, always be quick and even eager to forgive. To help restore relationships. Again, how Jesus treats us, we are to treat others. But what if Jesus didn't forgive us? Where would we be? And yet how often we refuse to forgive others. Again, supernatural living is kind, it's tender-hearted, and it's forgiving. And so I ask, as we review some of these Christian rules to live by, how are we doing? How are we doing? I mean, what does your wardrobe look like? Do you always speak the truth? You know, a transparent life is so much more free than a deceptive life, deceitful life. Number two is, yours a righteous anger. You know, sometimes I wonder, do we even know what to be angry at? What does God want me to be angry at? Number three, are you generous in your giving, which includes your time and talents? Number four, are your words gracious? And number five, is yours a kind, tender, and forgiving spirit? Such a conversation, such living marks a spirit-filled life. For this believer puts off the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and he puts on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And therefore he grieves not the Spirit of God, whereby he is sealed unto the day of redemption. And I promise you, such a testimony points the unbeliever to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today, if your spiritual clothing is unbecoming to a Christian, take it to Christ. Take it to Christ. His blood cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Jesus can give you a new wardrobe. Let's pray even now, Holy Spirit, clean out the closets of my heart.